thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wally. I'm here with my homeboy, Ray Jeezy. What's good, Ray Jeezy?
I'm just happy to be on the air. No one knows how much goes into just trying to get on the air. I'm telling you. But thank you for your support. This is what keeps us coming back.
I know. Sorry. It was hectic. Like, can I find this? Can I find that? We found what we need to find, and we're here to do the show. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene again with my man, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. We're missing our homie, Will T, but he'll be back next week. First off, before we get into this, well, we're going to talk about sports, but did you see the game last night? What's that?
I actually went to bed. I'm sorry. I was hoping you didn't ask me that, because if I give some type of analysis, it won't be
in depth,
first-hand information. Yeah. I saw highlights. It's late.
I know. West Coast games are a blower.
It's late.
It really is. West Coast.
I saw the Heat game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that game?
I saw the game. I saw. Okay. I will say this, and I'm going to talk about it, you know, later on, and we'll talk about that, I believe, around the towards the later half of the latter half of the show. DeMar DeRozan is not a star.
did anybody think he was?
You know, being an all-star and whatnot, he's just not a star to me. He just doesn't show up at all.
I don't know. I like his game, but Kyle Lowry to me seems to be struggling in the playoffs in general.
He did, but his last game was better than the game before yesterday.
Yeah, he had a good game. That was his first good game of the playoffs.
In years. And we'll talk about the NBA playoffs at the 8:40 mark. But and also we'll talk about the Washington Capitals. They have a playoff game today. This is game 6. They're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll update you as the night goes on. Also, Strasburg, you know, Strasburg getting that sign, that big deal.
Yeah, his counterpart, Scherzer, he's on the mound tonight.
Is he on it tonight? I thought it was Joe Ross.
Oh, I thought Scherzer was starting tonight.
That's a change. I thought it was Ross. You can please check that later anyway.
Oh, all right.
But anyway, we're going to get into our tradition of pregame. Like I mentioned, the Washington Nationals signed Steven Strasburg to a 7-year, $175 million extension. Also, the Washington Redskins signed Jordan Reed to a 5-year, $50 million extension. We're going to talk about those two. We're actually going to combine it and kind of not compare, but see which franchise, who's more important to their franchise at this point in time, Jordan Reed or Steven Strasburg. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, Stephen Curry winning the MVP for the second time. Kevin Durant dropped 41 points on Sunday. The Spurs are playing OKC tonight, but it made me think, what are some of the other players out there, you know, from the DMV who had great postseason? So we're going to talk or great postseason performance. And finally, we're going to talk about Canelo Alvarez knocking out Amir Khan in the 6th round Saturday night. Before we get into that, we're going to talk about Steven Strasburg. Steven Strasburg, again, like I mentioned, signed a 7-year, $175 million extension. Your thoughts on the contract?
By the way, Ross is starting tonight. I just checked it.
Okay.
I guess Scherzer tomorrow. You're right. It surprises me a bit that it got done this early. Typically, you see these type of deals take place in the offseason. However, it's important to kind of lock up what was thought to be the cornerstone of your franchise. I know he had the injury issue, but I feel like this is the learners finally being loyal to someone and looking to continue to build off of what they've started with these young pieces, which obviously started with Strasburg and Bryce Harper, which, you know, we're going to discuss if he's next to get a big extension. But I'm happy for Strasburg. I think he's pitched very well this season, and it shows that, you know, the organization trusts you. They're committed to you. It's going to probably relieve some stress that he's been facing, because I'm sure it was a motivator for him to want to pitch better this season in effort to lock up a long-term deal. He's done that now, and hopefully he'll go into the rest of the season with just, you know, not as much on his plate, not as much on his shoulders, and hopefully pitch well, as he's been doing.
Yeah, and I think, on this season, he's been and Rohark, Ross have been, you know, pretty good. But I think when you look at what he's done, he's 5-0. He's been, to me, the Nationals' best pitcher. He's a guy you can rely on. You saw yesterday, even though he gave up 4 runs, he logged in innings when, you know, obviously the bullpen was spent because of the Cubs series when they got swept by the Chicago Cubs. And the bullpen logged in so many innings in that series. So you rely on your horse. You rely on your big dog. And Strasburg was that dude. But he had over double-digit strikeouts, I believe, in that
game. He did. Absolutely.
11 strikeouts in that game. So It's warranted. He's a guy that obviously I felt we all felt like he struggled to, you know, after that shutdown, when he got shut down. But he's always been a high strikeout guy, and it's good to see, you know, that he's going to stay in D.C. I know for me, I thought that he was gone. I didn't think he would be, you know, he would be in D.C. because you have to pay. Eventually, you're going to have to pay Bryce Harper, who you talked about.
Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with him being gone. Oh, by the way, last season, I actually said Jordan Zimmermann was a more valuable commodity than Steven Strasburg. And I meant it, mm-hmm. especially since you signed Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Which, again, at the time, we didn't understand that deal anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that, what's the word I'm looking for? Expendable. I'm not going to say he's that. But, it was a bit surprising to me, just the timing. If I'm making the decisions, I probably wouldn't have done it during the season.
Mm-hmm.
I would have waited till off season, see how the season played out. Because it's such a long season. We hope that he can sustain success, but who's to say he can? But Strasburg remains in D.C. Now, hopefully we'll get a chance to interview him in the future. That's the only bright spot for the Urban Sports Team, really. But other than that, it's just our opinion.
The only bright spot?
For us? Yeah, him staying... You're not a Nationals fan. I am, but I am more of a casual baseball fan.
I like Steven Strasburg. I'm actually a fan of the player. You know, a guy who was coached or managed by the late great Tony Gwynn. I like his makeup. He's my favorite Nationals starter in the rotation. Even when Zimmermann was on the team.
I like Jordan Zimmermann better, but again, that I guess that's irrelevant. Steven Strasburg,
Zimmerman is pitching tonight.
I know, and he hasn't been the same Steven Strasburg since that injury, though.
Since the shutdown, you mean? The shutdown, he was having a good year before he got, you know, before they...
That's just the shutdown, but I mean, I guess he was. But to me, his velocity and speed has not returned. He used to consistently throw 100, over 100.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown 100 in a while. You're right. I agree
maybe it's... It's what do you call it? Purposeful? Is it intentional that he's not throwing as hard or as fast because, you know, it's advice from doctors, like, you know, here's how you sustain a longer career. Or, I don't know.
Well, no, I'm with you. I've watched, just like you, I've watched him over the years, and he's not throwing 100. I know that. And when he first broke into the league, he was throwing 100. But he's still throwing 95, 96, which is still, you know, strong, because, you know, his pitches have so much movement. You look at this season, his ERA is a 2.7. Last year, when, you know, we struggled a little bit, it was a 3.46. But again, for a starting pitcher in today's Major League Baseball, when you're under four, that's still, you know, deemed respectable. Always up there in strikeouts. Last season he had 155 strikeouts. The season before, having a 3.14 ERA. I'm talking about the season of 2014. He had over 200. He had about 241 strikeouts. So he's always been a strikeout guy. This season right now has 58 strikeouts. So Strasburg is one of the mainstays in this organization. Glad that he's going to sign up for this team. Hope to see him have that Cy Young year, that year that, you know, we've seen Bryce Harper have, like last season as the league MVP. But speaking of Bryce Harper.
About to be suspended, maybe
suspended. But also, what does this deal mean for Bryce Harper? Or the national signing, the chance of the national signing?
It shows that they're committed to their young stars, point blank. So we're looking at a big payday for Bryce Harper. But I believe there's still going to be a huge lure for him versus Strasburg. Was there a market for Strasburg is the question. So,
that's definitely a market for Strasburg, definitely.
A big market.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think Zach Greinke got a big deal. He was going to get a big deal.
I just have to say that I believe that the Harper market is far bigger.
Of course. No, I'm not saying that. We're not comparing that.
The star power for Harper is far bigger. DC can't lose him. So, well, it can happen. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, you don't want to lose Bryce Harper.
That's the better. That's the best way to say it.
In comparison to Steven Strasburg, if you're going to pay him, you got to pay Bryce. And you got to give Bryce a reason to stay. So it's on us, though. Not the learners, not Rizzo. It's on the fans, because he does not like the fans in DC as a whole. I know he's, from what I heard, a personable guy. You catch him out in D.C. somewhere, he'll talk to you. Very nice young man. But he complained last year. The fans are not supportive enough of baseball. And the bottom line, it's because of the football town.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Glenn Consor complain about Wizards fan early in the year.
Who's Glenn Consor? For the people who don't know who he is.
Radio personality, I guess.
Yeah, for the Washington Wizards. So make sure you're from Washington.
He's the voice of Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to our show and you're a sports person, you should know Glenn Consor.
Not everybody, though. Just making sure.
Anyway, the point is, there have been complaints,
mm-hmm.
widespread complaints from other, what do you call it, other sports in this town. And it's because people are more passionate about the burgundy and gold more than anybody. So I don't know if Bryce Harper really prefers to be in a baseball town, but based on past comments, I would think he would consider that when, you know, going to sign a contract, his next contract.
No, I think that for Bryce Harper, what Steven Strasburg's contract does for Bryce Harper, it does to me put a little doubt. 175, knowing that you hear rumors that the market for Bryce Harper is going to reach about $400 million. So when you look at that, you're like, okay, well, how can they afford a Steven Strasburg, Steven Strasburg just made 175? How can you afford him? Like, you got to think about $400 million. That's a lot on the table. Like, the New York Yankees are out there waiting to get a Steven Strasburg. As a matter of fact, I posed the same Bryce Harper. Thanks for correcting me. And posed the question on our Facebook page about what does this contract mean for Bryce Harper. My man, Chris stated that, yeah, that means like he's about to rock the Yankee pinstripes.
Right.
You know what I mean? So a lot. And
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. So, and then you have a lot of people who, you know, and also on our Twitter page, at Nuts and Bolts, SP said, great question. He thinks that maybe 250 to 300 million would be enough to get Bryce. I'm on the side of saying 400. And you heard rumors that 500 is going to keep Bryce. Like the Yankees are willing to pay Bryce 500 to be a New York Yankee. So, and I don't see the Learners, you know, forking over that kind of money by due to the Yankees, because you know, if you look at the Yankees, look, what major star have they signed over the last some odd years? None. It looks like they're saving their money for that star. And could that star be Bryce Harper?
Yeah. And if you're Bryce, what's keeping you here? That's my question.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
There is nothing keeping you here except that you started your career here. And maybe you've grown a love for the area. You've grown a love for the stadium. I don't know. But if I'm Bryce Harper, I'm heading to New York. However, they have to show they're going to build something around him, though. He's not going to want to go to lose. And when has the Yankees had a deep postseason run in recent memory?
No, they went to postseason last year. It wasn't deep. It wasn't a deep postseason run. No, I'm with you. This is why I totally agree with you. I don't think that Bryce Harper, the Yankees have shown enough to, you know, sign a Bryce Harper. But I will say this, that it's something about the Yankee mystique that may have Bryce Harper come to New York.
Could he be Carmelo Anthony? That's what I don't want to see. Don't go for the tradition or the uniform, because if you make that mistake, you're going to end up Carmelo. Carmelo went to New York because he thought, this is where I want to be, Broadway, big lights. Has it worked out to this point? No, it hasn't. It just hasn't. And Bryce Harper, as many see, he can be a loose cannon. I believe that plays a role into his decision making. You know, am I going to go a place where I'm going to be frustrated constantly? You're just starting out with Dusty Baker, who so far he's got off to a good start as manager. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make a change, a big change like that? If it's about the money and the mystique, he's gone. But if you want to win consistently, I think, then you stay in D.C. because right now they're building something, as I said about them signing Steven Strasburg.
So, all right, real quick before we go into break, we're about to aim into break real quick. You mentioned his suspension. He got suspended. You mentioned him possibly being suspended. He got into a situation last night, arguing balls and strikes, and to a point where he was in the dugout, and yelled some things to the umpire. The umpire threw him out the game. Does Bryce Harper need to be controlled? Or would you feel like this is much to do about nothing?
I know he can be a loose cannon, as I just said. This is evidence of it. But at the same time, I have seen growth and maturity since he's been drafted, i.e. the Jonathan Papelbon incident. He could have easily, you know, responded either physically or in the media after the game. He didn't do either. And after the game, he said, we're cool. He wanted to move on. So I think he's mature. I think he'll learn. I think Dusty Baker is the right guy from that standpoint. I think Matt Williams was the opposite. I think Matt Williams probably fueled him because Matt Williams was like a young Bryce Harper, just not as talented. So I believe he could use some mentoring, but I see growth and maturity, and I think it's just building upon that.
All right. I want to agree with you. I think it was much to do about nothing. I think Bryce Harper, I agree that he has shown maturity, but you don't want him to coddle that fire that he does have. So I think there's much to do about nothing. I don't think Bryce Harper will get suspended. No, I know he did tell the umpire, you know, F you. But I think he did. Like, that's what he pretty much told him. But at the same time, I don't think that he'll get suspended for that situation. There were a lot of players on that in the National dugout who was pissed off at the way he was umpiring the game. Anyway, someone also signed an extension, and we're going to debate whether this person is valuable, more valuable than Steven Strasburg. It's the Urban Sports Scene. You dig? Doses.
Strasti in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strasti.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
The Urban Sports Team, that was Skylar Diggins, who appeared in the Urban Sports Scene about 4 years ago. We're still playing it, though. Also, every bar in D.C. right now is very quiet. The Capitals are down 1-0 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you never like to go down early in a hockey playoff game, let alone a hockey game in general. Mm-hmm. However, I think they can climb out this hole. No reason to panic, but I'm sure some people just got quiet. And there's that lone Pittsburgh fan that are probably there with their jersey on, and they are ecstatic, and people are upset. Don't drink too much. Don't get into fights. Thanks for listening to our show tonight. It's Wally, myself. Not Wally. I'm Ray. Myself, Ray. And my man, Wally. Wiltie's not here. Call us, though, 240-478-3140. That's our phone number. We're also on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. You can also listen to us on the Sports Career Podcast every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by our good friend, James, West Coast Still a Fan.
Our good friend, James, West Coast Still a Fan.
Jordan Reed, though, he signed an extension. We're big fans of Jordan Reed.
Oh yeah, definitely got an opportunity to talk to him at other Reds at the Redskins games after wins and losses of a guy who's always willing to talk about Jordan Reed. I'm a fan of the signing of the extension. A guy who deserves it. A guy who obviously broke records for the Washington Redskins at the tight end position. And was their main, to me, their biggest offensive threat. Did you think he was the biggest offensive threat, or did you going a different way?
Absolutely the biggest offensive threat. Although, when DeSean Jackson is at his best, it's a debate. Yeah. But last season, undoubtedly, he was their best offensive weapon, and he should have made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, definitely should have made the Pro Bowl. It's just showing that the Washington Redskins are moving upwards in terms of signing their own, taking care of their own. This guy was so productive. I believe he's one of the highest paid tight ends in the game right now. The guy had over 900 yards receiving. Had 11 touchdowns. Had 87 receptions. So he was a guy that during the stretch run, when you knew that that's who Kirk Cousins was going for, the guy was getting double teamed. He was a guy who still got open, which to me shows you that he's at that level of an elite tight end that you notice someone's looking for you, gunning for you, trying to get you the ball, and you're going against double teams, and you can still get open. That just shows you're at an elite level as in any position, any skill position in the NFL.
Yeah, and the question is, who's more valuable to their franchise, Jordan Reed or Steven Strasburg, both signing extensions recently. Outside of Rob Gronkowski, who was better than Jordan Reed last season?
That's a good question.
You can name a lot of pitchers who are better than Strasburg.
That's a good,
in the MLB.
That's a good argument.
But you can't name a lot of tight ends right now based on last season who are better than Jordan Reed.
Some would say Olsen out of Carolina. Some would say Olsen.
That's debatable.
Other than that, that's the one that's a stretch to him. I mean, that's the
still
one that's comparable.
Top three,
yeah. Other than that, because we're looking last season as the as the comparison last season, just to go as his own. I don't think there's many tight ends out there that can compare to Jordan Reed. Again, this guy was somebody that DeSean Jackson wasn't there for most of the season and still got open, still did his thing. So he was the primary option. You can't say that about other teams. He was the absolute primary option for his team. Same for Gronkowski, who Ray referenced, and even Olsen too as well. He was the main threat for Cam Newton, but there was many times when you saw that Jordan Reed was the only option, no running game, and Kirk Cousins found him numerous of times. And there's a guy who got open on the high money downs, and which we talk about, and when we mean high money downs, that's third down, who got open and did his job. So again, Jordan Reed to me is a guy that we compare to Steven Strasburg. In terms of who's more valuable, Jordan Reed is more valuable to the Washington Redskins than Steven Strasburg. And why I say that is because when you look at Steven Strasburg, he's not the only pitcher the Washington Nationals can fork over to say, you know what, go do the job, shut it down for us. You got Tanner Roark, Scherzer, even though he's having a down year, but Max Scherzer is still one of the better pitchers in baseball. And then you got Ross, and Gio Gonzalez is having one of the better seasons of his career. So Jordan Reed brings so much importance to the Washington Redskins compared to a Steven Strasburg.
On the AFC side of the football last year, with Tyler
Eifert. He was good.
He made the Pro Bowl on the AFC. And then, like you mentioned Olsen, but again, Jordan Reed, in my opinion, should have been there. I'm trying to see if there's any other tight ends. Oh, Travis Kelce from the Chiefs is good.
Kelce, yeah.
He's good, I will admit. But based on last season, where I guess we'll have to compare the stats.
Yeah.
And I know we see a bit more of Jordan Reed than we do other tight ends in the league. I'm wondering if we're a bit biased.
It's a possibility. I mean, more than that, it's definitely
but
a possibility.
I guess something you pointed out that's important. If we look at the body of work for Steven Strasburg, he's probably a higher commodity, I guess, as you in particular say about Kirk Cousins. Jordan Reed got to prove himself beyond one season.
That's
how you know you're biased, because
I said off of one season. I didn't say as a career. That's one thing I did say. I said for Jordan Reed.
No, but I'm saying, but you are optimistic about him. You like him.
Oh, clearly. Okay.
When it comes to Kirk Cousins, you're like, I need to see more.
Let me tell you,
but Jordan Reed, you're sold.
Let me tell you why. Because Jordan Reed, it's never been an issue of Jordan Reed as a pass catching tight end of being productive. That's never been an issue. He always got open. He was always that guy. The issue with Jordan Reed was health. That was health. Kirk Cousins had bad performances. Like he would have bad performances.
Different positions, though.
But I'm just telling you, that's if you're asking for my opinion why I favor Jordan Reed, that's the reason why. Jordan Reed, you're like, oh God, he could perform. Even a game against the one that Colt McCoy played, he played well in against the Cowboys. Jordan Reed got busy in that game.
So he showed flashes?
He's always been that dude.
He showed flashes?
Yeah, he's always. At a high level, though. It wasn't like flashes, here and there. When he was on the field healthy, he always bowled.
Kirk has shown flashes as well. Like I said, two different positions.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Reed, it's hard to recognize when a tight end has had a bad game. Usually, you're going to look at the quarterback. Like, maybe did they give him the ball? But if we're basing it just off ability, yes, Jordan Reed has shown, I guess, from the beginning that he is a capable guy. He's athletic. He has excellent hands.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe you need to – see Kirk Cousins in the same light as you see Jordan Reed as far as one season. Maybe Jordan Reed comes back this season and maybe, teams figure him out. I don't know.
I'm fair with it. You know what I mean? When I look at Kirk Cousins compared to Jordan Reed, Kirk Cousins,
he has shown that he struggled.
Yeah, he's shown me he struggled, and he struggled big time. Jordan Reed, and you're right though, tight end position is a little different to assess, but
much different.
But watching Jordan Reed, just like watching a wide receiver, watching a running back, Jordan Reed was productive when on the field.
You say that Kirk Cousins made Jordan Reed better? Because here's the thing. If you have a guy like Dallas Clark or Jacob Tammy who played with Peyton Manning and they look good, Brent Celek looked good with Donovan McNabb, and I want to say he looked good with Nick Foles as well. But have you heard Brent Celek recently? Probably not. Dallas Clark wasn't the same after Peyton Manning left. Jacob Tammy went to Denver with a different Peyton Manning, wasn't the same guy. Jacob Tammy probably was not the best example, but typically quarterbacks make their tight ends better. Think of some great tight ends. You think of those guys
Antonio
like Tony
Gates,
Gonzalez.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates. They play good with whoever's at quarterback.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed, you know, again, I don't know. I just feel like Kirk Cousins plays a role into his success.
I will say this, like, again, I can name games where Jordan Reed looked good without Kirk Cousins. And he did with Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy against the Cowboys. Cowboys. RG3, he looked good with RG3 against when they played the Cowboys, actually, in that game in FedEx. The one that he won. The Eagles in FedEx.
Jordan Reed's an excellent guy.
So, to me, he's always been that guy. The problem with Jordan Reed, and it's always been there, it hasn't been productivity on the field. It's health. That's the only thing. It's only been health. Yeah. It's a guy that, even this season, it was like, oh, he got a hamstring injury.
That's not a knock against his skill level.
Not a knock on his skill level. Just that, you know, it's health. It was like, okay, Jordan Reed can't stay on the field. That's why now as Paul started camp as the starting tight end, because Jordan Reed couldn't go on the field. It was like, oh, he's got another nagging injury. So now you see what he can do when he – you know, when he had pretty much a full season, I won't say a full season, you saw how productive he was as a starting tight end in the NFL.
Impromptu place your bet. Who you taking, Cooley or Jordan Reed?
Oh, Jordan Reed. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm taking Jordan Reed over Chris Cooley. And you're listening to Urban Sports Team, my man Ray G's and myself, Wally. And also, feel free to call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Of course, I'm a big Chris Cooley fan. That's my dude.
You argued passionately about whether you would take because I said I would take Aaron Hernandez before all the legal stuff over Chris Cooley. You were really upset about that.
I was.
To where I thought that you would pick Chris Cooley over anybody.
I'm not. Look,
over Shannon Sharp.
I'm not doing that.
Over Tony Gonzalez.
I'm not doing that.
But you're taking Jordan Reed, so you jumped off the Chris Cooley bandwagon. For obvious reason, probably.
Because Jordan Reed is a beast. It's not about anything.
Chris Cooley's very productive.
Very productive. But Jordan Reed is a monster. He's a man-child, man. He's like, he's the next
big. So he has star capability.
He has the best tight end capability.
Cooley didn't have that star ability.
He has the best tight. You're not going to get me into this. Pull me into this. Thing. You're not going to do it. Anyway, man, the question we compare Steven Strasburg and the importance of Steven Strasburg to a Jordan Reed. Chris stated that no, it's not even close. Chris Vincent stated it's not even close. Strasburg is more important to the Nationals than Jordan Reed is to the Washington Redskins.
Wow, it's not close.
It's not even close.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
Not even close.
It is close. Steven Strasburg, when he was injured, the Nationals still were capable of winning games. And to be honest, you know, even this year, they have a capable pitching staff, maybe not in the closing, maybe not closers, but they have a capable pitching staff where if Strasburg were to go down, the Nats would still be a playoff team or considered a team that should win the division. Without Jordan Reed, I don't know. He was such a big part of Redskins offense last year for a team that could not run the football effectively for more than half the season. You need Jordan Reed. I guess again, it's debatable, like we're debating now, but I would say it's close, though. It's a good argument.
It's a very good argument. I think it's close.
I picked Jordan Reed. I didn't even pick Strasburg.
I picked Jordan Reed just because, again, the Nationals already have a boatload of starters that, you know, are very productive. But you were leaning towards the direction anyway. So who or what is the reason for Jordan Reed's success? You mentioned Kirk Cousins, so I add a couple other factors, and I think I mentioned health. So let's knock off Kirk Cousins and health, adding John Gruden into the mix. I keep calling him John. I don't know why. Jay Gruden into the mix. What is the reason why Jordan Reed was successful last year?
Again, I think Kirk Cousins plays a role. Because he was Kirk Cousins' number one target option. Whenever you have a quarterback and a receiver or a tight end that have a connection, I'm an Atlanta fan, Julio Jones is the first option. You know that Matt Ryan is looking for him first. When Tony Gonzalez was a top receiver on the Atlanta Falcons, you knew that Matt Ryan was looking his direction first. Kirk Cousins was looking for Jordan Reed often. And you know what? There isn't a linebacker in the NFC East or in the league really that can probably cover Jordan Reed. And there's probably not a safety that can really cover him either. So you know he's going to be open. And that rapport was huge. Building that rapport between these guys was huge. So Kirk Cousins, to me, is he's definitely number one in my mind as far as why Jordan Reed succeeded. But who's the play caller, though? It's not Kirk Cousins. It's the coach.
Yeah.
So you got to give him some credit as well.
So how would you have it ranked according to you? I mean, have you put in order?
Kirk Cousins won, and Jay Gruden too.
So, and health would be third.
Who would be third?
Health.
Oh, health would be third.
Okay, no, that's fair. No, I think that's a fair point. Kirk Cousins had a great year, so I'm for me to deny
a record-setting year.
A record-setting year at the quarterback position for the Washington Redskins.
And who was his number one receiver?
Jordan Reed.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I'm gonna go health first. It's not hate. I just believe that Jordan Reed was that type of dude if he could stay on the field. Kirk Cousins two, Jay Gruden three. On Twitter, my man. My man at King_Broad said both individuals help health and Kirk Cousins helped Jordan Reed get to the level that he is at.
I don't like him as a blocker.
He's terrible as a blocker.
That's what I don't like. I think if you're going to be a complete tight end, or if you're going to be a star tight end,
Blockers are ready for a pass catching tight end. Other than Gronk.
Oh my goodness! In the open field, it's so obvious when he misses blocks. When he holds.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that.
That's what I don't like.
He holds too much. That's a fact. He holds way too much.
That bothers me.
My man George said health is 100% health. He believes health is the reason why Jordan Reed was successful
last
season.
Everybody though, but I guess since he is quote unquote injury prone, I don't know if he's injury prone, but he has a history.
No, he's injury prone. You can't play it like
it's a history of injuries.
Yes, he's an injury prone dude. You're correct by saying that.
I think that you and your followers and your little clique, y'all don't like
no
Cousins.
The cousin,
anti-Cousins.
No.
Actually,
most of the people are Cousins folks. Other than maybe the last one I read, most of the folks are Cousins folks.
Who is that, George?
Yeah, George.
George, if you're listening, you're not a Cousins guy. You're more of a pro Robert.
I think George is fair.
You're a pro Bobby Griffin.
I think George is fair, actually. I think it's just fair.
No, George speaks his mind. Yeah. He's always objective.
Yeah,
always I like objective. George's opinion.
Yeah.
I don't always sense that he's biased.
No, he's not biased.
He's such a frequent contributor. I love George, by the way. No, I don't know. I kind of got to look at you out the side of my eyes to figure out what's going on.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm fair. I'm actually pro.
You're a guy right now that's just itching for week four to get here, and you want RG3 to have a great game, and you want to call into a local radio station and mess with people.
I don't need to call to a local radio station.
You can use social media to troll people.
I will troll people. I don't need no social media. I don't need no call.
Shout out to my man Tom, by the way. You know, he's a contributor.
He already hates
the word troll, by the way.
He does?
Yes, he does.
Right, you already know. I don't need another radio station. Like I got social media.
You have a forum. We have a forum right here. Though. You can troll people from right here.
Go ahead.
But you gotta be right when you do it though. That's key.
Dude, I'm always right. Even when I'm wrong, son. Even when I'm wrong.
Yeah, right.
I'm always right. I'm 95% right, even when I'm wrong. You dig what I'm saying? Woo.
The high percentage.
Anyway, Sunday, KD dropped 41 for his MVP, which is his mom. You know, NBA playoff game. That's his mom. His mom is the real MVP. All right. Steph Curry. Also, the NBA announced their MVP earlier today, and he put in work last night like nobody else. We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. There you go. Thank you.
I was going to try to say
it. I know. It's okay, bro.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times. Without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
I'm about to lose my mind. You've been gone for so long. To bring me back to life.
I told the world one day I would pay it back. Say it or take the leg. Record it so that one day I can play it back. I don't even know if I believe it when I'm saying that. Y'all starting every day is just so gray and black. Hope I just need a red act. Cause no one sees my vision when I play it for them. They just say it's whack. But they don't know what dope is. And I don't know if I was awake or asleep when I wrote this. All I know. You came to me when I was at my lowest. You picked me up, breathing life in me. I owe my life to you. Before the life of me, I don't see why you don't see like I do. But it just dawned on me, you lost the sun. Demons fighting you, it's dark. Let me turn on the lights and brighten me. You know,
You are listening to the Urban Sports Team, my man Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. Call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. All right, I mentioned Steph Curry before the break. Steph Curry last night and the Golden State Warriors beat the Portland Trail Blazers in OT 132-125 to take a 3-1 game lead in the series. Curry returned and dropped 40 points, 17 in OT. Game thoughts, my man Ray Jeezy.
I think really we should start with you because you watched the game. I could not make it to the end. But looking at the highlights, we were discussing this during the break. To start the game, or when he got into the game, after Sean Livingston got ejected. When did Sean Livingston get ejected, by the way? How did that happen?
Because he got hit upside his head, and the referee didn't call anything. He got frustrated.
Yeah, I know, but Sean Livingston usually very even keel. Just a shock. But anyway, to get back to your question, when Steph Curry entered the game, he did not seem as though he had his legs with him. You could tell he was rusty a bit. He even shot an air ball, which is a shock for someone who shoots such a high percentage from three, over 50%. So it was great to see him get into the flow of the game as the game went on. And then to see him, you know, put on a vintage Steph Curry performance.
Yeah, it was something else, man. The dude put on an electric show. He had a play where in the fourth quarter, he dribbled to within, I'm going to say like 30, 40 seconds left in the game. He dribbled to the basket. They were down three. Obviously, Portland thought he was going to shoot the three. He went to the basket, found Harrison Barnes, and out there. Not the corner, but at the angle for the three, and Harrison Barnes knocked down the three to tie the game up. And it just shows you, right, even when he was going good, like he's still not selfish. He's a guy that can kind of get everybody involved, even in that moment, because he demands so much attention. Stephen Curry is one of the special players. And in that overtime, when I mean dude went ham, I mean 17 points in overtime, missing 2 weeks, dog, 2 weeks of NBA play. And he can come back, and he started rusty, don't get me wrong, but once he got going, it shows you why he was a league MVP.
He's highly skilled.
He really is. He really is, man.
Like I said, from based off highlights, I feel as though that still he's not his quick self that he usually is. He still looked a little bit limited as far as his movement goes, his lateral movements. But as you said, the dribble still was there. And of course, the jump shot and that killer instinct. He's such a competitor. I think that's what people miss because he's such a nice guy. There's nobody you can compare him to. I know John Stockton has that look to him. Nice guy look, but very, very much a tough competitor. Steph Curry is on a whole nother level. When it comes to that, you could tell when Kobe Bryant really had something with him, a vendetta, or when he was trying, he had that killer instinct coming out with Steph. He still looks like a nice guy. He's not intimidating at all, but you can just see from the shimmies, from the celebrations, he wants to kill you on the court.
No, man. He's a killer. I mean, we both play basketball. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell who a killer is. You don't gotta be the mugging you or looking evil in your face. He's a killer because when he shoots that three, he's arrogant. He'll look to the side and go to the crowd dude.
It's hard to get mad at a guy like that when you're competing though. You know what I mean? It is versus a guy who's going to taunt you, a guy who's going to be demonstrative all the time. That's the guy you want to get back at. But Steph Curry, again, sometimes I think opposition is in awe of what he does. I'm serious. When he had that spectacular game, long shot against Oklahoma City during the regular season, LeBron James couldn't help but tweet. LeBron James sometimes just tweets some crazy stuff out of nowhere about teammates or whatever. But he when does he ever tweet about another player unless it's spectacular? When Blake Griffin dunked on Kendrick Perkins, he tweeted about it. But he saw Steph Curry make that shot. And also, Brian Windhorst is saying that LeBron is really taking notice. And I know he's at home watching that last night. Like, wow. I know I'm a break. We're sweeping through the East right now. But this guy is still the headliner. Period.
Definitely. He's a special talent, man. I had this debate with somebody about why Steph Curry was the MVP. I think if you don't understand, but if you didn't watch yesterday's game and you don't understand why he was a unanimous MVP, and we'll talk about him being a unanimous MVP.
Who else was there to debate?
Exactly. Who was there to debate? Like, because he's the first player to ever get a unanimous MVP. But let's just be real. Like, he went from, and we're going to talk about it more in detail. He went from averaging 23 last season to averaging 30. His team went from 67 wins last season to 73 wins this season. Broke records. Steph Curry is, yes, this is a special season. one of the best seasons we're going to ever see in basketball.
Yeah, you know what? The team's record, 73-9. Mm-hmm. Come on now. That says enough to me, and you're the leader of that team. You deserve MVP. I guess people are starting to question, though. Like, for example, at the barbershop, people mm-hmm. were saying, well, based on the fact that Golden State is still excelling in the playoffs without him, there is a debate as to whether he should get a bigger contract. You know, the owners now have some leverage. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. They can't win a championship without him. Come on now.
And this is, and I've heard that debate too, which I think it's a little skewed too, because that debate, that point annoys me in this way. The Houston Rockets weren't even a team. Like they weren't a team. So he was playing without. They're playing without Steph. They weren't
still
even a team.
That's still a big feat, though.
No, but I know, but they weren't even playing together. You watching the game, they weren't even playing together. You had people who weren't really leaving vibes.
Sure, okay. The Rockets, right? They would have beat the Rockets regardless.
Yeah, regardless.
But they get to go up 2-0 on Portland, and they're still competing.
Yeah. I know. I'm not saying Portland, but again, Portland, it's not like they're playing OKC or San Antonio. That's what I'm saying. Like they can still beat Portland. Portland is a team that
that's true.
Dame, like if you look at their record coming, I don't have their record. Their season, they're 44-38. They can beat Portland in Golden State.
I totally agree with you. I'm not even going to try to debate this.
Yeah.
It's like when MJ retired, 94, the Bulls still went to Eastern Conference Finals and went 7.
Exactly.
And to be honest, you know, there was those of us who felt like the referees were a bit impartial.
Exactly.
You know, because, of course, the referees were impartial to Jordan. And mm-hmm. as soon as he's gone, now it's like, okay, they're not going to call the game the same. Mm-hmm. And Tim Donaghy said that stuff has been, you know, dating back for years. We ain't going to go there. But there's some conspiracy stuff out there. But the point is, you had the Bulls still excel without Jordan. Uh-huh. The Golden State Warriors are a team that's thought that they can win probably upwards of 60 games without Stephen Curry during the regular season, which still is a phenomenal feat because Klay Thompson is a star.
Yeah,
he's a star, as he showed during his playoffs. Mm-hmm. But you're right, though. Of course, I agree, they can't win a championship. And Steph Curry better get paid. The whole rationale for him not getting paid initially was because his ankles were a bit shaky. Mm-hmm. They thought he was going to be Grant Hill, as he always talks about. And that's another motivator for him, by the way.
Again, Stephen Curry, I'm with you.
Enough said.
Yeah, enough said. We don't really get into why.
We shouldn't have to argue or debate exactly whether he's a problem with him being unanimous MVP.
Yeah, we should.
You know who I like, though? I like Russell Westbrook because he does it in every category. But he's not going to be most valuable because Kevin Durant clearly is probably more valuable to that team than he is.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. But I like his game. He's a triple-double machine.
You saw Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard got second place.
That's a joke.
And LeBron
was third. The most viable.
And LeBron was third.
The coach is the most viable on San Antonio.
Man, Kawhi Leonard's a great two-way player, man.
Yeah, but not MVP. Bottom line, no.
So, okay. All right, so, you know.
You got LaMarcus. LaMarcus, to me, in the playoffs, has probably been most viable.
Oh, LaMarcus has been nasty. He's in the playoffs.
Nasty. He's on another level.
Yeah, exactly. But, okay, so how come you see Stephen Curry, what he's doing? He's arguing, okay, he's a two-time MVP. Mm-hmm. Led the league in scoring this season. His team has had the best record in history in the regular season. Won a championship last year. Potentially can win a championship this season. How come people don't talk about Stephen Curry in the running for a potential best ever? Not to say how Grant Hill was talked about. Penny Hardaway was talked about being the next up and coming guy who can be in that level being best ever type of player when they were younger.
I think the consensus is not fully on board with the style of basketball he plays, point blank. You know, Jordan, Kobe are guys who they did it in a variety of ways, not just one way. Steph Curry, I mean, I know he beat you off the dribble, he drives the basketball, but he mostly beat you from the perimeter.
Yeah.
And people are not ready for that. It's like in the NFL, you know, we're used to the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the drop back classic quarterback, mm-hmm. Joe Montana's. We don't want to see Russell Wilson come in and be the top quarterback of all time. It just doesn't happen. So now you got this guy who is Pistol Pete with the shooting ability of Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. Man, the league has never seen anything like it. You've seen things close to it, but who can you compare to Stephen Curry? There's nobody yet who is so efficient from deep. And yet, you know, leads the league in scoring. It's crazy. I mean, Allen Iverson was a guy who was small in stature, but people did not want to, gravitate towards his game, mm-hmm. which is why he was never in a discussion for best ever, but he should be, though.
Exactly. I agree.
So they're smaller. They're a bit unorthodox. And this is what it is, but he's revolutionizing the game, and people don't like it. And that's why Mark Jackson pointed it out. He just pointed out what's real. A lot of the older basketball players, they talk about it all the time. They don't like it. They don't like his style of play, period. However, but if you're there and you're watching, like Kareem said, I couldn't appreciate this dude until I watched him in person. I'm like, wow. And you know who else is a big advocate? And Kareem is not the right person, but Michael Thompson is. Michael Thompson is like, man.
His son is, you know, what's his name, son?
No, Klay Thompson's father. He's a huge Steph Curry fan. He's like, man, unless you watch this guy as closely as I have, you won't appreciate him.
And to me, that's the special thing about Steph Curry is that, like you just said, he's something that we never seen before. A guy with that pat, with that jump shot, a guy who can go to the basket. But you can shoot the three so easily.
And he's thin.
You know what I mean?
It's like Reggie Miller with all this dribble.
Seriously.
It's amazing. I know LeBron is somebody who revolutionized the game too. Karl Malone size that mm-hmm. can handle the rock, can jump out the gym. But, you know, and he took the lead by storm, but not like Steph, though.
Yeah.
LeBron had to leave and learn how to win with Dwayne Wade, who had already won a championship. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry is building something. With a franchise that hasn't won, just like Cleveland.
Yeah.
So LeBron James, you know, definitely has to be motivated to want to see this guy and beat him.
Like, to me, it's just like you said, like, this is a talent that you've never seen before. And you mentioned LeBron James. I'm a big fan of LeBron James. Like, I love LeBron James' game. And he's a two-way player guy who can, you know, who's unselfish, a walking triple-double, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Steph Curry, it's like he's just something special. You know, being a basketball coach and asking kids, who was your favorite basketball player? For a while, you heard people talk LeBron, Kobe, this, that, and the other. A lot of kids, even the last couple of seasons, have stated Steph Curry is their favorite player. So he's a guy, to me, that's becoming the face of the NBA, a guy that – when I watch, man, it's must-see TV. Like, when the Cavs come on TV – they got Kyrie, which is entertainment in his own right. Kevin Love, LeBron James. But when I watch Steph Curry on TV, I stop.
The one thing I will say, just to kind of come from a different perspective, is I don't think NBA GMs are going to start to draft, you know, to construct their teams like Golden State, because teams like San Antonio still show you that with the, you know, workmanlike game plan, fundamental basketball, you can still win.
Mm-hmm.
You can still pick some guys off the street, you know, put a good game plan, coach them up, and you can still win. And San Antonio's won, you know, multiple championships. If Golden State continues to win, because right now they are primed to be a dynasty. If they continue to win, if we're talking 3 and 4 championships down the line, I think you start to see players or GMs want to build a run and gun team. But as we see right here in Washington, it doesn't work if you don't have Steph Curry. Point blank.
And they could have had Steph Curry.
Point blank.
And they could have had Steph Curry, too.
I can't think of any other team that's tried, you know, this model where they're going to shoot you out of the gym and they go far.
I'm with you. I'm trying to think of it. Everybody's tried it.
But the Celtics tried it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was shooting threes on the Celtics.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
Antoine Walker was Draymond Green now, and it didn't work.
Paul Pierce, they're all draining three. Walter McCarthy, Tony.
Yeah, everybody was shooting threes, but you don't have Steph. You do not have Steph. On a college level, it can work. Yeah, sure. Because Duke did it for years where they were just out shooting everybody.
It doesn't work now, man. It doesn't work. And you're listening to Urban Sports Scene, my man Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. Let's go to the OKC versus the Spurs. The Spurs right now are beating OKC by 33-34. Sunday, Kevin Durant dropped 41, helped the Thunders to tie the series up at 2-2. Does Kevin Durant have to do that almost every night for this team to win the series?
He's going to have to carry the team, yes.
Okay.
He has to, because you're going against a complete team in San Antonio. But there's nobody on the San Antonio team that can match his talent level and can match his scoring ability. LaMarcus Aldridge is playing great basketball. Kawhi Leonard's playing great basketball. But who on that team can match him? Nobody can. The key is, and they know they can win in San Antonio. They know it. They're confident, the Thunder are. So ride your guy, because if you try to ride Russell Westbrook, you see what can happen. You have the potential for higher turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't create as well as KD does for other teammates. So you got to ride KD, and KD's so motivated. And he's healthy, which is important.
Yeah, I think Kevin Durant has to be the leading scorer for this team to actually, you know, win the series. This team, they're playing against a Spurs team that's like one of the better teams in all of basketball. They play great team ball, but Kevin Durant's going to have to share the basketball. Him and Westbrook can't, you know, play hero basketball. They're going to have to give Serge Ibaka, Enes Kanter, you know, I should do Enes Kanter, get them involved and let them be an impact in the series, because the OKC is so talented. I think people don't understand how talented they are because they have Kevin Durant and Westbrook, but there's so many guys on that team that, you know, that can draw buckets. Right now, Kevin Durant in this game, in game five, Kevin Durant has 10 points. He's one for three from 3-point range. He's 4 of 11 from the field. I think Kevin Durant has to be a guy who drops to 35. I'm gonna say 40, but 35, yeah, I mean, for them to win this series.
I think again on the offensive side of the ball, he has to lead them. But Steven Adams is the anchor on defense. Mm-hmm. Not Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka blocks shots, but Steven Adams is probably the toughest guy in the lineup too. I believe it's going to come down to defense as well. And OKC as a team does not play the best defense, which concerns me a bit. And they have to learn how to close out games. That's what Kevin Durant has to get better at. And that's what Steph does that KD doesn't do yet, is closing out games effectively. As you saw in the game, game two in San Antonio, when they pretty much had the game in hand. They almost gave it up. Yeah. And the referees helped him to some degree, even though there was a lot of missed calls. So we're not even going to harp on that. But the point is, Kevin Durant clearly has to lead the team in scoring, and they have to rely on him down the stretch.
All right, real quick, the playoffs in general, which things stood out to you? What things have stood out to you in the playoffs?
The resurgence of Dwayne Wade. He looks like Flash again, although he's still not quite that guy. But the way he's going to the basket, the way he's, you know, dribbling around guys, it's been great to see that. And that's the most competitive series right now, it seems like.
Yeah, it is. I would say the most. Well, this one's competitive too. Spurs and OKC is very competitive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it is an intriguing series.
On the East.
Yeah, definitely. On the East.
That's what I'll say.
On the East.
You're right.
I'm with you. I'm going to stay on that series. To me, it's just it's the play of DeMar DeRozan. For the Toronto Raptors. It really is, man. I watched that
game.
You
thought he was a star?
Dude, like Kyle, down the stretch, he was on the bench. He was happy with the kid Joseph, who used to play with San Antonio, the guard, and didn't even look at DeRozan. Coach Casey didn't for the Toronto Raptors didn't even look at DeRozan till Kyle Lowry got fouled out. Then he had to go to DeRozan. So to me, when I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be a guy. You're a 20-point scorer. Like, you're supposed – this is down the stretch. You see D-Wade going ham. Like, you need to be in the game. Like, and then when you're in the game, I see why the coach didn't want to put you in the game, because you're, like, bobbling the ball left and right. Like, you're not even ready for the moment. Like, you're supposed to be an all-star.
He has some growing to do. I think this is part of the process. And he's also not 100% healthy, although the hand injury was very recent. Because he didn't play well in the first round either, which is a shock that they advance without their two top guys playing at a high level. But to me, that's not the shock of the playoffs. I mean, Dwayne Wade, the whole season, he looked as though
he
looked older. I'm not going to say he looked old, but he looks like somebody who's winding down.
Yeah.
I recommend that people, listeners, you check out an interview that Dwayne Wade did early in this season with Scoop Jackson. Where I did interview Dwayne Wade as well. That's great. Check it out. But first of all, the clip is much shorter. And no, it's a more in-depth interview about the best player from Chicago, about his legacy. And you can tell in that interview that he's a guy that's winding down, you know. But right now, he seems to be set to make one more push, intent to make one more push to win a championship. And that's great. I'm just happy to see it. You know, how many times have the media counted him out, and now he's right back doing his thing, and he has no choice right now, because Dragic just looked like he could be a leader on the team on the offensive side of the ball. And then you have obviously Hassan Whiteside, who's hurt, which hurts their chances of winning this series. But if they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I like him going head-to-head against LeBron, and they play defense, and Spoelstra knows how to defend LeBron better than anybody, because he coached him for several years. So it'll be great to see Miami advance, and Dwayne Wade looks primed to take them there probably in 7 games.
Well, right now OKC is up 43-40. KD looks like he's, you know, he's starting to get in the rhythm. And you know, KD's, you know, he's from the DMV. But what are some of the other DMV athletes that showed out in the postseason? We'll name some after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig?
Deuces.
My man.
Wondering if after all these years you'd like for me to roll over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you. Chill. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger. Free. I remember how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's no difference between us. A million miles.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, my man Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. This is overtime with the Urban Sports Scene. Usually we are done at 9 o'clock. Call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. And also check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a battle. An NBA playoff battle with my man Hakeem Wong and Ryan Whitfield for picks. I believe in this Spurs series that we both, I think I have them in six. We all have them in six.
I have OKC.
You have OKC in six. We all have them OKC in six.
Oh, you have OKC mm-hmm. too?
Oh, okay. We all have them OKC in six.
No, I had them in seven.
You have them in seven. Sorry. Yeah. So Hakeem Wong and Ryan Whitfield, they have them in six, and I have the OKC in six as well. Before the break, I mentioned some of the DMV native ballers. I mean, ballers in any sport, which is football, basketball, baseball, you name it. What sparked this idea? Kevin Durant, you know, on Sunday had about 41 points. He's from the DMV, C Pleasant. So what are some of the native DMV athletes who had great postseason performances?
Well, first thing that came to mind for me was Jermaine Lewis, Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants Super Bowl. A game that the Giants won. I mean, the Ravens beat the Giants 34-7. Mm-hmm. He had 152 total yards. 111 of those were just on kickoff returns alone, and he returned one for a touchdown, 84 yards. Somebody who grew up in the same neighborhood as I did. I knew his little brother. I actually was really good friends with his brother.
Okay.
Didn't know him personally, and the way our neighborhood was split up, you know, his side went to Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt. My side went to Duval High School, so didn't go to school with him, but he was a top player in high school in the area. Did the same thing at University of Maryland. Just all around guy. Kind of reminds you of Trevon Diggs.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Or Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
His brother's Trevon. Mm. He kind of reminds you of Jermaine Lewis, somebody who's all around threat. You know, can do it all on at the receiver position and as a return guy. Percy Harvin is another one that comes to mind. But as far as the DMV goes in the postseason, that stuck out. You know, it's hard to think about these things, though, because, like, you got so many talented guys that come from this area.
Mm-hmm.
Navarro Bowman and Sean Merriman come to mind. But it's like, do they have classic playoff performances is the question.
Not classic.
Navarro Bowman has played some excellent playoff games.
Okay,
but has he had some classic performances? You know, I don't know.
I think to stand out. And I'm glad Jermaine Lewis was a great pick for, because, you know, he went to Eleanor Roosevelt High School. It was high school I went to. Mm-hmm. A guy who's a track star and did great things in Maryland. And like as you mentioned before, that, you know, he pretty much owned with the Ravens dominant defense. He owned special teams wise, he owned the Super Bowl. He was Super Bowl MVP, am I correct?
He was Super Bowl MVP?
I thought he was. I could be wrong. We'll look that up. I thought he was, but I could be wrong. Or it was Ray Lewis. It's one or the other. Probably Ray was. I'm looking it up now. Yeah. We'll look it up. I'm just not sure about it. But for me, I chose. I remember because when he was in his prime, and we're talking about guys in our lifetime too. I want to talk about people, you know, in the 70s and the 80s. We're talking about guys like, you know, within the time we actually got to understand sports, and you're looking at guys who are in their 30s. So understand that who at this point in time we watched this, we saw, we dissected it, and saw that at that time. For me, I'm gonna go with Steve Francis in 2004, Game 3 against the Los Angeles Lakers when he played for the Houston Rockets. He was a guy. He's from Silver Spring, Maryland. Steve Francis was one of everybody knows Steve Francis in the postseason used to get busy, especially against the Lakers. He was used to give Kobe Bryant fits back in the day. But he scored like 27, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. He was a guy who just balled. It was Ray Lewis. Yeah. Okay. So he was a guy who just balled. And he was a local legend, especially what he did at the University of Maryland in College Park. I remember hearing about Steve Francis, JUCO career too, as well. Junior college career. What was it, Allegheny?
Yep.
Went to Allegheny. So, Steve Francis to me was a guy near that point in time in his career with the Houston Rockets, especially against the 2004, that Lakers team lost to the Detroit Pistons in the finals. But that season, Steve Francis definitely was a guy, teamed up with Yao Ming, did some damage to the Los Angeles Lakers in the postseason.
It's crazy we can't think of others in our lifetime.
Yeah.
In all that games that we saw, guys who are from this area, it's amazing that it's a struggle. You know, I think a lot about Maryland guys when I was trying to, you know, figure this out. But we're talking playoffs, though.
Mm-hmm.
Even college, you know, because Keith Booth is a local guy who has some great tournament games.
Yeah, Baltimore. That's where. We still count that. But you want to count that?
I don't actually. But I mean, he went to Maryland, just the same way Allen Iverson went to Georgetown. You think of these guys, but yeah, it's not a whole lot I can really recollect. I'm sure some guys who are older than us, especially the baby boomer age, probably can go further back and say, you know, Oscar Robinson.
Guys
that we didn't watch. So it's interesting. Interesting debate. I'm sure on the collegiate level, it might be a bit easier.
Yeah, we got a couple. Lynn Bias. You have the kid.
But did he have any vintage tournament games? I don't know.
That's a good question. I didn't watch Lynn Bias.
We were alive, but we were alive.
You know, we weren't.
not to where we could watch it and analyze the way we can now.
And assess it, like properly assess it. That's how I like to call it. Properly assess. Back then. So on our Facebook page, we posed the same question. My man Kamal said Jermaine Lewis, agreeing with Ray Jeezy. My man Reginald Kemp said Jenkins from Nova. I mean, he obviously had a big game. Hit the game winning shot. The game winning 3-point shot. As a college kid, so that's why we're kind of like worried about it. But it was a game winning. It was a big shot. Local kid, I believe, he's from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And he won a national championship with that shot. He had 14 points, so it was a productive and, you know, thrilling postseason. We put it that way. Man, Rob Anthony had Allen Iverson, you know, from Hampton Road.
Doesn't count.
But the step over Tyronn Lue, you know.
Doesn't count. He's not from the immediate D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
Yeah, we discriminate so hard in terms of, like, the DMV. I'm talking about just in general in this area.
Yeah.
So what is the actual DMV?
Northern Virginia. You know,
MoCo, Prince George's County.
Montgomery County, Prince George's County.
Will Howard County count?
Yeah, I guess.
So does this count?
To
an extent. So Baltimore,
like, Baltimore doesn't even count.
Yeah, Baltimore doesn't count. That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't.
You know, that's crazy.
Who cares? I guess, you know, you got to lump it all in at some point.
At some point, yeah. We need some unity, right? At some point.
Who knows? We have a lot of professional athletes from this area, but those who have vintage playoff performances, it's hard to think of it.
I know you can't. It's really difficult. You really break it. It's very difficult. Like I could say, for instance, now Sherman Douglas is from DC, isn't he?
He is.
I know he's had a
vintage
couple,
playoff performance
though. Nah, you don't think
he
about
has some
it.
Good ones for the Celtics, but not anything vintage. No,
because Alonzo Mourning is from like Virginia though.
He's not from here.
He's not from here though. Not this side of like
he's a country boy.
Country boy, Virginia. Yeah. So kind of. You know what? This is like, I didn't know a thing would be that this difficult in terms of finding an area baller. It's
no,
very
it's many
difficult.
Area ballers, but
an area.
I mean, the biggest NBA star in our lifetime.
Yeah, 41. Yeah, 41 points in the playoff game. And he's had other moments that you've seen him go ham in. So, yeah, that's in terms of current day athletes. I want to say, like, I wonder if they want some in baseball. I haven't even thought about any baseball players. I should have thought some baseball players. Yeah, Calvert was Baltimore. That's what he's not.
Nothing registers with me.
Not me either. Anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. We're going to talk about the fight that happened on Saturday night. Amir Khan got deboed by Canelo Alvarez. And we'll talk about who's next for Canelo Alvarez. Is it Triple G? It's the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, y'all dig? Doses.
Sure. That's a first-rate queso dip.
Haven't been this lost in years.
Recalculating shortest route.
Do I really look like this?
And put it on top.
Never seen this one before. Part.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
I like it.
I seen your girl post a bill, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene, my man Ray Jeezy and myself. While we're missing my homie Will T, but he'll be back next week, man. I have all faith in the world that he will. Make sure you call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just visit, or excuse me, just search the Urban Sports Scene. What you laughing about, though?
Nothing. I'm not saying anything.
What you laughing about, my man? Anyway, like I mentioned before the break, excuse me, Amir Khan got knocked out in the sixth round by Canelo Alvarez. Your thoughts of the fight?
I felt like Amir Khan, up until that point, was fighting a good fight. His movement really affected Canelo. It was
really
amazing.
It really did.
It was amazing. But we all said before the fight, I know I wasn't on last week, but we all said, especially in our text messages, if he gets his hands on him, it's going to be scary.
It's going to be
a wrap. Because after the James Kirkland knockout, I'm like, man, Canelo, I'm scared of what he might do to somebody. He could end somebody's career as hard as he hits. And Amir Khan just strikes me as a guy who, not as big, you know, I was worried about Amir Khan, and he got caught just as I anticipated. But you know what? He fought a good fight. Shout out to Will T, who gave some good analysis last week on what he thought was going to happen. He thought it was going to be a close fight, and it turned out that Amir Khan was, you know, on his way to looking at maybe a potential win or a draw. But then he got hit. And it looked like it hurt.
and it did like it hurt. It like hurt a lot. And it's crazy because, you know, just thinking of this fight, I really believe that Amir Khan could give Canelo some issues with his hand speed. And his hand speed was just amazing in that fight for the first, like, you know, the first five rounds. And then all of a sudden when Canelo hit that dude and he hit the ground and his head bounced off the canvas like that, I was like, oh, my God, this guy dead. Like, is he going to get up? But he had a great game plan. I mean, to me, initially, it was like 1-2, get out of there. Didn't get into the belly of the beast. But eventually, man, something about Amir Khan, he tries to get rocky. And when he went rocky, he tried to go rocky on Canelo Alvarez. He tried to stay there in the belly of the beast. That he was playing. He was really playing with danger. Also, I'll even add into it that Canelo did do a good job at attacking the body. He did go to the body of Amir Khan, which eventually opened up some things. I felt like once he started hitting the body, some of the headshots that he got was out there for him. So it was when I look at Amir Khan, I think that he kind of messed up his own strategy a little bit by just getting in there too thoroughly with Canelo Alvarez. I would have liked him just going 1-2, jump out. 1-2, jump out. A lot of times he was going 1-2-3-4, try to stay in there. And eventually, I felt like that's what got him caught by Canelo Alvarez. But for me, you know, what's next for Amir Khan? I'm trying to figure out what's next for Amir Khan, because Amir Khan now can go back down to his initial to his fighting weight, which is 147, and maybe, you know, with this type of performance, because again, he had a great game plan. He did look sharp. Maybe he can go fight against a Danny Garcia, a guy he can get a rematch, a guy who did knock him out. If he can get that rematch, that could be a big fight for Amir Khan, because now, to me, this fight, you know, again, he did lose, but there is some positivity within this fight, because he went against the baddest duo on the block right now in the boxing game. And for like most of the fight, he was winning the fight till he got knocked out. So there are opportunities out there for him to look like a prize fighter, to get that big fight, to fight like a Danny Garcia, maybe a Terrence Crawford down the road, some of these guys he can fight. And if he can beat these guys, he's still relatively young. People forget Amir Khan's still relatively young in the boxing game. He can do some damage in boxing.
What's next for Terrence Crawford, by the way?
Terrence Crawford right now hasn't fought anybody, but there was word that he, you know, tried to get in the fight a Manny Pacquiao. Try to fight a Danny Garcia. Maybe try to fight, like I said, Amir Khan. Amir Khan's not scared to fight anybody, so maybe somebody like that. Because right now, he's not really talked about who he's going to fight. I mean, what about a Thurman? Maybe he wants to fight a knockout Thurman. But I'm looking at Amir Khan as, you know, having an opportunity. Some of these guys, he can fight. It's just up to these guys to be, you know, courageous enough to fight an Amir Khan. And, you know, I think he had a great showing. But Amir Khan, and also, you're listening to Urban Sports, my man Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. Amir Khan. Canelo, you know, with this fight, you know, now everybody's talking about Triple G. Canelo invited Triple G into the ring. Canelo said he doesn't F around and he fears no one. Do you want to see a Triple G Canelo fight?
Based on the fact that I'm not a huge boxing fan, I'm going to say that it makes sense. Okay. But I'm more interested, honestly, as a boxing fan, to see you. Who Ward is going to fight next?
I
thought he was going to fight Terrence Crawford, which is
He's too big for Terrence Crawford at the moment. He's light heavyweight. He's too big for him. Terrence for Crawford. Ward is going to fight Kovalev. That's who's next for Ward. Okay. Kovalev is going to be next for Andre Ward.
Yeah, I want to see Andre Ward fight next, because I think he's going to be back to form. Fight. Canelo, don't get me wrong. He's a headliner. Don't get me wrong. And he's a draw, but I'm more interested in that. I'll watch this fight. You know, Canelo is always interesting to watch.
Yeah, he's the most exciting boxer in the game between him and Triple G, and that's why everybody wants to see the fight. Yeah. To me, I want to see this fight, but if I'm gonna be a promoter, if I'm gonna look as a promoter, I know that it's right now 6 months. That's you want to label that, you want to knock this fight out now in 6 months, because that's what you want. But to me, Cinco de Mayo is like the Super Bowl of boxing fights. I think you can garner more money. More people to go to Vegas for that type of fight. I would wait a whole year to have Canelo versus Triple G in Vegas at Cinco de Mayo, and then have it right there, rather than just having 6 months, maybe in November or whatnot, and just, you know, have it at that point in time. I would just have it in. I would definitely have that fight in May of next year, and have that fight go down, because I feel like the money you can make, the money Oscar De La Hoya can make off this. Could be crazy, and I would take that chance. I would definitely do that. I would have good Triple G, Canelo, Cinco de Mayo, 2017. Let it happen, and I'm guaranteeing it was a big payday. But I guess the only fear is that if Mayweather tried to creep in and say he comes out of retirement, he can take that Cinco de Mayo weekend, and you know, because Cinco de Mayo weekend is all Mayweather 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, he's talking about a crossover fight.
Yeah, with MMA. Yeah, with what's his name, McGregor, Conor McGregor.
About money.
That's ridiculous.
At this point, due to the fact that the Pacquiao fight disappointed so bad, I think Floyd right now, he needs to stay where he is.
Oh, yeah, word is he's going to try to get Pac-Man one more time. That's another rumor, too. Okay. That's another rumor, too. That's a rumor, though. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we're about to wrap this show up, man. But it's always a pleasure, you know, doing sports, my man Ray Jeezy. Also, I believe the Caps are still down 1-0 to Pittsburgh Penguins during the second period. I think it was the second period. But anything you want to say to the people, man?
No, playoffs have been exciting, especially watching the Capitals look to claw their way back in the series against Pittsburgh. I'm hoping they will, but I know there's a lot of anxiety right now, so it's fun to watch the anxiety. Since I'm not a huge hockey fan, it's kind of cool. That's what I said. People in bars right now are frustrated. I'm worried about people driving home. Take the Metro. Don't take the Metro. It's not good anywhere right now, right? Take Uber or something.
It's 14 minutes. That's not safe. It left in the second period, and the Caps are down 1-0. Like Ray, DC, man, keep your head up. The Capitals may be able to come back and get this to a game 7 in Verizon. Hopefully, that's what we want. So we can have my man Ed Frankovic back on the show so we can talk about the Caps. Anyway, man.
Shout out.
Guys, like, always giving a shout out. Anyway, y'all, thank you for listening to the show. Peace out. Y'all stay blessed. It's the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. Mega leaders out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.